Mike's been sick for about a week and a half. And what's interesting about that is when you get really sick, everything that you do, your habits, your sleep schedule, probably what you eat, basically everything is completely wiped clean. And you, when you get over being sick, you somehow have to climb out of that and get back into the swing of things. And so we're going to talk about how he's doing with that, I guess. I don't know. We haven't talked about it yet, but I'm kind of interested to see what it's like to go from nothing to get back into everything. So why don't you tell us about getting sick?
All right. Fun. So just to kind of define what I was sick with, I got COVID, and this was my first time getting COVID. I know I'm kind of late to the party, but this was the first time for me. So COVID ranges on the spectrum from you don't even know you have it to you die. And so you can really land anywhere inside that very broad spectrum. For me, it was really not too bad. The way I would explain it is I was too sick to watch television for a few hours. I kind of dipped below that threshold of, wow, I feel so bad, I'm just going to stare at the ceiling for a couple hours, and that was about it. And the rest of it, I was able to watch, I watched a whole bunch of Seinfeld, or I could play my handheld and play a game. So I was feeling okay for that. And it lasted, the real solid sickness was about a week, and then there's a little bit on the ends of milder stuff. So all in all, not too bad for me. But it did end up being a bit of an interesting experience because I don't really get sick very often. It's been at least 3 or 4 years since I've been, or maybe 3 years maybe, since I've been sick. And before that, it was probably another 3 or 4 years. So it's not often for me. And I am definitely a big giant baby about it, and I hate it, and I complain and think it's just the end of the world. So it's probably a more intense experience for me than it should be. But you remember last podcast we were talking briefly about this idea of curves? I was talking about how you start drinking and you're on this curve of becoming more buzzed, and how the upward slope is very different from the downward slope, where you're becoming less buzzed. And how even if you're at the same point in absolute terms, the fact that you're going up versus the fact that you're going down totally changes the experience.
Yep.
So I think that very much applies to illness in that, although it's the opposite, in that as you're getting sick, you're going down. And even if you aren't all that sick, you know it's getting worse. And that downward curve is very unpleasant. And when you're on the upswing, that same point, the same level of sick feels infinitely better when you know that you're improving. So what ended up being kind of interesting for me is that, first off, have you ever encountered a physics girl on YouTube? Diana Cohen, nope. I think her name is.
I don't think so.
So she's a YouTuber. She has been for a very long time. She has a physics channel, does these short, interesting, pretty high energy physics videos. I mean, she's great. And I've kind of followed her stuff off and on for years and years. So she just last year, she's in her late 20s or early 30s or something. She got married. She went on her honeymoon, got COVID, which turned into long COVID, which turned into, I think it's called myopic encephalomyelitis. Chronic fatigue syndrome is what it's called. And it's something that's not very well understood, and it kind of ranges in terms of severity, but for her, it's extremely severe, and she can't walk. She can't read a book. She can't really do anything. Any amount of even thinking or mental expenditure causes this big crash where she gets worse. And we don't understand why that happens very well. There's some recent research around mitochondrial dysfunction. Basically, your body just cannot create or use energy the way it's supposed to. Anyway, I don't know why, but I'm a little bit fascinated by this condition. I actually follow a couple other people that are dealing with it for whatever reason. It's just interested me for a while. And I feel terrible for her and for anybody suffering from it. It sounds terrible. It's totally debilitating. But what kind of struck me about her is that she's someone who, I mean, she's a very famous, popular YouTuber, has very successful, very successful Patreon and crowdfunding sources, and just like basically on top of the world in that sense. I mean, being a successful YouTuber is a dream for lots of people, especially at that level. And she's young, she's healthy by all accounts, and then this happens, and it just totally wipes her out. To where she shut down the studio, has no plans for anything, can't make plans for anything, and it's entirely likely that she will never recover. Not to be cynical, but it's a condition that is just really tough. So, having been following her a little bit and then getting COVID myself, again, for the first time, I know everybody else has already gone through this for the most part, but for me, I get COVID. I'm somebody who tends to think more than I need to about certain things. And as I'm just descending down the curve of being sick, I'm just wondering, like, I don't know what I'm in for. I don't know where the bottom is. This might turn around in 2 hours and I start feeling fine and it's no big deal, or it could just keep going, or it seems better and then it gets worse and whatever, right? So I'm just kind of thinking about all that stuff. And it's really the first time in a few years that I've had to really put the brakes on the thinking and planning and goal-oriented mindset that has really been sort of dominant with me. I really haven't stepped out of that for a while, for years, really. The podcast is part of that. We talk a lot about our goals and what we want to do and how to be better and that kind of thing. And even going on vacation is really not the same thing. You could take a long weekend or go somewhere, but you know when you're back, you know what you plan to do when you get back. That part of your brain might be kind of set aside, but it's never gone. But when you're sick, especially with a novel illness that can be not as commonly, but it can be really bad, even for somebody who's younger and healthier. You can't plan around that. As I'm getting sick, my boss is asking me, like, hey, do you know when you'll be back? And I'm like, no, I do not. Do not talk to me again. I can't work. I can't do anything, and I have no clue how long this is going to be. And so it really forces this complete letting go of all of that in a way that really nothing else does. I had all this stuff I was going to do, and now I can't. And I lived on the couch. I went from the bed in the morning to the couch, a couple trips to the bathroom. That was it for probably 5 or 6 solid days. My wife brought me food and tea and medicine and all that stuff. I mean, I did not do anything besides that for days and days. And I had no idea, to take the extreme. Some people wind up like that for decades. So that kind of put some things in perspective and made me, I don't know, do a little bit of reflecting and really shift into a different state of mind, one that I hadn't really been in for quite a long time.
I've had COVID twice, and I
Yeah.
got it. The first time I got it was much worse. But I'm at work, and everyone seems to be getting COVID, and I didn't for a while, but then I finally got it. And they all talked about it like it was a mild cold, and it didn't really bother them. And then I got it, and it was really bad.
Really?
And I mean, not that bad, but like my voice dropped like 3 octaves, and I was on the couch the whole time. I watched the entire series of The Killing. I remember
Oh,
doing that.
that's a rough show to be watching while you're sick. That was pretty intense.
It's perfect.
It's a great show.
It's dark and gloomy, and yeah, it
Yeah.
was great. But it was this total freezing of time, and you just sort of Your brain just expands to whatever. You don't know what's happening. Everything is dropped. All goals, thoughts, whatever. It's just all done. I think I was out for, I took off of work for 2 weeks, and then I worked from home for the next week or so. It was, yeah, it was a big deal. And you just felt, I don't know, like you're lost in space or something. It was a strange thing.
Yeah, it's a different place. And so the worst symptom for me, like, I got hit pretty good with fever and body aches and everything early on. That didn't actually last that long, but the worst symptom was sore throat. I don't think I've ever had a sore throat this bad. And you don't realize how often you swallow until your throat feels like it's lined with barbed wire. And then it becomes the only thing you can think about. I was trying to think about how to, I guess I wouldn't call it objectively, but how to try and measure your sick level for yourself, because it's kind of hard to do. You're thinking, am I better, am I worse, or whatever. So the what can you do, I think, is a good meter. You know, for me, I could play my Steam Deck most of the time, and that's a good sign. It means my brain kind of works. But there were periods where I couldn't do that, and it was just passive TV watching, and then there was getting below that where even passive TV watching doesn't work. So I think that's a little bit of a good barometer. The other metric I had was, how long can you go without thinking about the thing that hurts? And so the sore throat, I mean, it got pretty bad. There was a morning where I woke up and Sam had gone to the store to, I had asked for every sore throat thing she could find, you know, the sprays and the lozenges and whatever. But I get up and I start drinking some tea, and it wasn't just pain. It was like, I couldn't swallow. My throat just wasn't working. It was like the liquid would just kind of bounce off or wouldn't actually go down. And I'm thinking like, wow, this sucks. I can't drink. But then I'm thinking, if I can't drink, I have to go to the hospital and get an IV. You don't last too long when you're sick if you can't get liquids in you. So that was kind of a freaky thought. And it ended up being fine within 20 or 30 minutes of like kind of working at it. Relaxed a little bit and was able to start getting liquid down. I'm like, all right. But still, crappy thought. So those were my methods, semi-objectively, of measuring how sick you are. But what it got me really thinking about was with the sore throat. It was really bad, and it kind of wasn't getting better, and then eventually it was fine. It started resolving. But with that, it was like the only thing that my mind could be thinking about. I mean, a dinosaur could have walked by the window, and I would have thought, oh, that's neat, a dinosaur. Man, my throat hurts. This sucks. I'm going to have to swallow again in just a few seconds, and it's going to hurt like hell. Like, it just, that is what's on your mind. And no matter what, you just can't really do anything beyond that. So it started me thinking about this thing in mindfulness meditation. You have probably encountered this, a gratitude meditation. You've heard of that?
I think so, yeah.
It's a big thing. I'd always encounter this when I was kind of looking into meditation stuff or browsing around for a guided meditation or something. There's all this stuff about gratitude, and it's been studied. There's a whole bunch of published papers on it, this gratitude meditation thing. And it always struck me as a little funny. Like, why is it that? Why is it a gratitude meditation? Why is that the one particular thing that gets emphasized so much? Why isn't there a whole bunch of empathy meditation or happiness meditation or, I don't know, something else? And I'm sure there's a little bit of that, but gratitude meditation is like this big thing. But I think I understand it a little bit better because of this sore throat and just being sick in general, is that as I'm descending down into the depths of being sick and not knowing where the bottom is, I'm thinking, man, in this state, I can't do anything. I can't pursue any goal of mine. I'm stuck to the couch, and that's it. And at least temporarily, have to let go of all of that. Have to think, my fitness is declining. That's something I care a lot about and have worked hard at. And I have no idea when I'm going to be well enough to even begin to climb out of this hole. All the projects that I care about are not being worked on and idling, and work is, I'm not working right now. So there's all this stuff. It's just, I have to just let go of all of those things. And it makes me think about how amazing it is when I am in a position where I can do those things and put effort and energy towards things that I care about and find rewarding. And I never think about this. I almost think of it from the opposite direction. When I'm really firing on all cylinders and I'm able to do all this stuff, I get so irritated if anything prevents me from doing those things or gets in the way. You know, if something happens that day where I can't do what I wanted to do, I'm upset, I'm angry. But realizing that it is this incredible gift and privilege to be in that position, and seeing that from the side of being sick and not knowing when it's coming back, was just kind of eye-opening. And it made me understand why that sense of gratitude in particular is such a powerful thing. That feeling of appreciating it and recognizing what a gift it is to be able to do things that you care about and want to do, or have people around you that care about you. I mean, like I said, I'm on the couch. I feel like crap. And my wife is like waiting on me hand and foot happily. I mean, she, was this amazing caretaker, and that's an amazing gift and not something everybody gets to have. And it really felt like it shifted my mentality a little bit. And it sounds weird to say, but I'm appreciating the value of gratitude in the way that really shifts the way you think. And I understand why mindfulness meditation focuses on that so much, because I think it actually is a really powerful thing and a really powerful way to think.
I mean, we could sit here and list all the things we're thankful for, maybe start singing Kumbaya, but I'm not sure what else to add to that. I mean, I agree, and maybe I should spend some more time, being grateful and showing gratitude for the things that I have. But I don't know what else to add to that. And I'm trying really hard not to shoot it down or anything. I'm just built to destroy things.
Yeah, that's fine.
I am wondering, how long do you think you can keep up that feeling? Because I'm pretty sure I felt the same. Actually, when my wrist was hurting, I get hurting really bad. And I'm thinking, oh God, I'll do anything to get just normal feeling back in my hand. And then I get it back and I'm like, oh, I'm so thankful. And then 10 minutes later, I'm like, I'm just back to my normal self. That feeling of gratitude and I don't know, just you remember how wonderful it is to just be alive and feel okay, which is taken for granted all the time. And you might feel overwhelmed with this feeling, but how do you get that to last? And I guess mindfulness meditation is one attempt at doing that. I don't know if it should last forever. I don't know if humans are meant to constantly feel that overwhelming feeling of gratitude for everything. Maybe they are. I don't know. I wonder where that fits into the daily, the daily routine,
Yeah. That's a good point. And I was thinking about, just the sick part of it. Now, as I'm getting sick and feeling worse, I'm thinking, oh my God, this is terrible. I hate this so much. COVID-wise, I've been vaccinated. I've had several boosters. I haven't had the latest one, but Sam did. And we both got it, and hers was way milder than mine. I mean, she just kind of felt off, a little bit tired, but not a whole lot more than that, just very small symptoms. And I'm thinking, why didn't I get the latest booster? I mean, this sucks. This is so bad. I so wish I had done that. And I'm just thinking, ugh, I'm never going to get sick again. I'm going to do everything in the book that makes you not get sick. I'm going to wear a respirator everywhere I go. and I'm going to eat all of the food that makes you not get sick, garlic and
right,
whatever.
But you're not.
Yeah, no, I know. That's the point, is that as soon as I'm feeling better, as soon as I'm on the way up, I'm like, meh, I'm fine. Right. Whatever. It wasn't that bad. I'm even just rewriting history in my own head of how bad being sick really was. I'm like, nah, I feel fine now. It's like it's hard to put yourself in a state of mind that isn't the one that you're in at the moment. You know, all the feelings you had before, they're not there anymore. And yeah, with the gratitude thing, yeah, same thing. As I'm feeling better, I'm so grateful for being healthy and for being able to function and do stuff, you know, but that's mostly a product of not feeling like death anymore. And, right. You know, once that evens out, it's kind of hard. To answer your question, like, how do you actually experience that in the long term? Probably the answer is that you practice it in the way that, you know, you would do a gratitude meditation practice, or it would be a thing that you do every day, or you cultivate that feeling and make that part of your routine. Am I going to do that? No. But I probably should. But I'm not.
But I don't know. I feel like some people would preach that you should feel that way. But if you really thought about it, now I think it's an important function of humans to be able to feel that and realize what you have and everything. But
yeah,
if you imagine on a day-to-day basis for the rest of your life, you are just happy to wake up and lay there. I mean, great for you, but you're not going to get very far because you don't need to do anything. If you're just happy with breathing, then that's wonderful for you. But
I take your point, but I kind of disagree in that. So you can't really do a happiness meditation. I thought about this a bit. Happiness is like, everybody wants to be happy. Everybody wants to feel happy, but you can't just make it, you know, it's not something you can manufacture. It's sort of a byproduct of other things that are happening. So gratitude, though, is a bit different in that it is more of a verb than happiness is. You know, it's the most annoying thing in the world, but you go to Thanksgiving and mom is like, all right, let's go around the table and say what you're grateful for. And it sucks, but it is effective at the same time. If you're forced to say, I mean, everybody wants to go first. They can say, I'm grateful for family and friends, and kind of a cop-out. But if you make yourself think about things you're grateful for and say them and go through that motion, it actually does create some gratitude. You know, being grateful is really just stopping and thinking about those things. So it is a thing that you can, in some sense, manufacture in yourself. And it can itself lead to happiness, where unhappiness, I'm not trying to over-define this because it's a big thing, but in large part, unhappiness is at least caused or partly caused by you thinking about all the things that are lacking, that are making you unhappy, that you wish were there but aren't. Gratitude is the other end of that, where you're focusing on all the things that are there and how they don't have to be. You know, having a loving wife that is there for you when you're sick, that doesn't have to be there. Lots of people don't have that. And I don't think about it as much as I should, but when I do, and if I actually slow down and take the time, I'm like, yeah, this is amazing. This is an incredible thing that I have in my life. And it has the side effect of helping make me happy. Like I said, this has been studied. It's been looked at and verified that, yeah, if you work on being grateful, it can cause these things. So I think there's a lot of value in it. Not just in the sense of, oh, I'm grateful, so good feelings. But we've talked about this quite a bit, how if you really want to be good at something or excel at something, it's very hard to beat the person having fun. I think having fun at something is kind of a similar idea, in that when you're feeling good and you're grateful and appreciating the stuff that's in your life, you have a better mindset. It gets better for the way you think, and that causes you to do better at the things you're doing. If you're feeling anxious and upset and unhappy, you just aren't going to do as well as the opposite of that.
I totally agree. And I treasure the moments where I feel grateful for things. I think what I'm trying to get at is, if you're feeling sort of this overwhelming feeling of being grateful for not being sick anymore, which is great.
Yeah.
And it's sort of changing things a little bit for you. I'm more curious about, you know, every time you talk about a habit or some sort of new learned thing, you always then question, how does this fit into the daily routine going forward? How do I make this, you know, last long term? So I'm more just curious about, what level of gratitude are you hoping to have in your day to day going forward for this kind of thing? I mean, what carries on, or does it not need to be put into a routine? Is this just sort of a momentary, let's be thankful for things? I don't know. I'm curious about, you're talking about a gratitude meditation and everything. I'm just wondering, are you planning on doing this?
I hadn't planned on it. And that's a excellent question to have asked. Is, I mean, we tried to prioritize that for many things. Is, okay, cool, that's working now. How does it actually stick around? The answer is, I don't know. I hadn't really thought that far.
Maybe that's a maybe that's a bad approach. Is this going to last forever? Oh, then I guess it doesn't matter. maybe that's a dumb question to ask for everything. Well, some things, yes, but
yeah.
But if you're feeling great right now, I don't need to crush that and be like, well, it's not going to last. So, you know, it doesn't matter. But,
well, maybe there's some middle ground there somewhere. Largely I agree, you know. I got sick, started feeling better. Oh, I'm so thankful for life and for my health. And then, you know, 2 weeks from now, I will have forgotten that I was ever there and I'll be on to something else. And, you know, it probably would have some lasting benefit if I integrated that into my daily somehow. So that kind of gets to the other thing, which is, before I got sick, I had mentioned here that I was playing around with this app that tracked all my habits and kind of lays them out day by day, and I go through and check them off and whatever. And doing that made it apparent in a very depressing sort of way how I mean, I was feeling so solid. I thought doing really good. Just every morning I'm up before the sun, I'm doing all this stuff, I got all these different things I'm killing, just checking off one after the other, day after day. And then, I mean, I think I have zero left, just nothing. I mean, after getting
zero habits that you've kept.
On average for the past week, the number of habits I've actually accomplished is very close to zero. And it sounds like the simplest thing, just, hey, okay, get back to it. But it's not. There's this, it feels kind of similar to the Waluigi effect.
Mm-hmm.
I guess. I don't know.
Well, I'm cutting you off. But in August of 2 years ago, I got COVID. And it wrecked me for the whole rest of the year. I mean, I talked about it on here, about how I just sort of, everything just kind of fell apart. And it was all from, not all of it, but a lot of it was from COVID. It just knocked me out. And then I couldn't get back into anything. Yeah. And it lasted for so long. I have faith that you can get back back on track faster than I did. But man, it just, the rest of the year, it's not that it was all shot, but it was just,
yeah,
it was just wrecked, like, well, broken.
It's January, so if it's going to be the rest of the year for me, this is the worst possible time. That was part of it too, is that as much as we try not to get too hung up on, you know, the New Year's resolution and try to think about it more throughout the year, even still, that was part of it. And I started the year off feeling really strong. Like, I went into it in a good spot, and then this, just, man, everything gone. So since you went through this and it sounds like failed pretty miserably at your recovery, any thoughts on why it went so badly for you or what maybe I could do better in this situation?
I kept a journal and I should go back and read it. There were some other things going on, but I have a feeling the COVID part of it was such a big factor because it was so physical and real. I mean, I was only sick for, you know, 2-3 weeks and then I'm fine, but it just sort of lasted. It's like, I don't know. Your brain just adapts to this different way of functioning. And when I say adapt, I mean in a bad way. You can't go back to where you were. I don't know. I'll have to read through some of my journals and see if I can find the breadcrumbs to lead you back the things. But
yeah,
I do think a small part of it, and I already talked about this before, was that I kept expecting myself to become what I was right before I got sick. And when things were going really well, I wanted to be that again. And so I kept trying to force things and they just wouldn't work. I wanted to be able to get up really early and work out again and draw all day or whatever and be really focused and think about the same things, but I just couldn't. Like, no matter how hard I tried, it just didn't work. And I think what finally flipped it was at the end of the year, not at the beginning of last year, we had sort of come up with a new plan of the way to attack the next year and come up with new ideas, just like we did this year. And I think when that happened, I was able to kind of let go of any sort of preconceived idea of who I was supposed to be and what I wanted to do, and instead just sort of come up with a new plan that fit the way I was feeling right then. And I think that's what helped me sort of finally get over it. So for you, you're comparing, I assume you're comparing yourself right now, today, to where you were at 3 weeks ago. And your plan is going to be to get right back to that. But I can almost guarantee it's not going to work because you're just different now. You have been damaged. But you're grateful for that, so it's okay.
Yeah, all right. I'm sorry I talked about the gratitude thing.
Oh, that's a... No, it was great. But if I had to say one thing, it would be to plan for how you feel right now. In fact, give up on everything. Give up on everything. I would almost ditch any sort of New Year's resolutions you... Well, you had good ones, so maybe keep them. But whatever plan you come up with, make it fit how you're feeling right now, not where you felt three weeks ago. It might have to be some new stuff, some different stuff, in order to get you back. Or not even to get you back, just to get you somewhere new and better.
I guess we'll see how I do. I mean, I really think the linchpin habit that I had was getting up early at the same time every day. That just is really what everything kind of chained off of that. And I do not have that right now. I've been staying up late, waking up late, all that.
Even if you keep all the same habits and you end up back to where you were 3 weeks ago, that's wonderful. If you can do that, awesome.
Yeah.
But be very patient with it and just relax.
Yeah, I think that might be what I focus on, is just slowly trying to work back the sleep schedule until it's where I want it. You know, if I can get that back in place, I think that'd be good to work on that.
Yeah. Because I had gotten really attached to watching shows. I had watched a bunch of shows and I was really enjoying it. And it was the only thing I could do. But even afterwards, I really wanted to keep watching shows. I just loved them. And it took me a while to kind of get out of that, because you just sort of developed this love of TV, because I wasn't watching TV hardly at all before that. I get sick and part of me is like, yes, I get to watch a lot of TV. And I just kind of fell in love with it again and started watching all this stuff. And then it was kind of hard to pull myself out of that because everything else, not everything else, but, you know, sitting and drawing or even reading or whatever, it's just, I don't really feel like doing that. I feel like watching TV. I want to watch my shows. And I don't know, it just took a while to readjust.
Yeah. No, I definitely feel that too. I watched a whole bunch of Seinfeld. And
I did too. I don't even know if I told you that, but I watched like the first 5 seasons of Seinfeld a couple months ago. I mean, a couple months ago, but yeah.
That's funny. It's a great binge show. I think it holds up entirely. But I also, on my Steam Deck, I started playing this this game called Oxygen Not Included. It's a colony sim. You have little dudes and you're on this planet and have to, you know, manufacture oxygen and water and everything. I got so sucked into that. I probably put 30 hours in inside of 3 or 4 days. I mean, but I completely experience what you're talking about, which is you sit in something for days and days, and then your brain is like, this is it now. This is life. This is what we do. Right. Is we sit on the couch and do nothing and play this game. And it's been difficult to get out of that. I wasted a lot of time on my phone, just browsing around doing stupid stuff. And I don't even really regret it. I'm like, I'm sick. Whatever. I'm not going to be all stoic and meditate for a week. So I'm just wasting time doing stupid stuff on my phone. But it was today that I finally deleted the browser off my phone, and I'm trying to get away from that because my brain is just, it's like it's really having a hard time letting go of all those things that just got completely throttled up while being sick. So honestly, even before the sleep thing, that's probably the number one thing that I need to get a handle on, is getting back to where I can... No, I don't need to feel like my brain is being constantly distracted by something, because that's what I've been in for the past few weeks.
Oh, I think we've talked about this before, but the after effects of something you do. So if you stare at your phone for, say, 3 days in a row, just, you know, all day, every day for 3 days, and then you put it down and you think, okay, now I can be back to normal. Well, you can't, because the effects continue to persist. Or an unknown amount of time. I don't know how long, like spending 2 weeks just binge watching TV, being really sick and doing absolutely nothing but being glued to that. That may have affected me for 4 months after that. I don't really know. There is probably a way of knowing that, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's as short as a day or 2 days. It could be a really long time to get your brain to just sort of come out of that. And well, it's just an overlooked thing, overlooked phenomenon.
I agree. I imagine part of it is that on the way down, you know, you're feeling good, you're doing your stuff, you're getting sick. Day after, you're like, well, I'm sick, I feel terrible. Couch, blankets, TV, you know, whatever. And that's just it. Like you fully dive in within 24 hours of this is all I'm doing. It's hard to get out the other end the same way. You know, it's hard to just completely switch it back to, all right, we're back to focusing on stuff and, you know, being thoughtful and all that. It's like I get towards the end of it and, hey, I'm feeling good today. Maybe I'll only watch 7 hours of TV instead of 14. You know, like there's just this kind of long tail of slowly coming out, and I imagine that's a big part of why it takes so long.
All right, well, we should probably wrap this up, right?
Yeah. My review of COVID, I would give it a 3 of 10. It's not the sickest I've ever been.
What's the criteria? Okay.
Well, if we're on the spectrum of don't know you have it to dead, I was pretty up there. I guess I wasn't worried about dying very much at all. But as an experience, I think there actually were some kind of interesting positive aspects to it. It was a vacation from life in a way that I have not had in a long time. But I also felt like garbage. Sore throat was next level. That was just awful. And wouldn't wish that on anyone. So, I give it a 3 of 10.
Would you recommend it to a friend?
No. Okay. Just keep just keep planning and thinking and working, and don't worry about this whole gratitude BS. Just keep doing your thing. Not worth it. Not great.
Okay, fair enough.